Right, well, Tiger King was a huge hit for Netflix this year, and the series centred on the startling story of Joe Exotic, a kind of militant rogue zookeeper who's now serving a long jail sentence for breaches of, I think, several laws while running his own wildlife operation. Now, that series shone a light on big cat collectors in the US and the businesses that they've built around these roadside zoos and so-called sanctuaries they've set up for the animals. But it's something that acclaimed and intrepid photographer Steve Winter has been doing for many years now. In his own home country, the US, and in many other places, Steve has captured poignant images of the growing numbers of big cats in captivity and those that are now in decline all around the world. Well, Steve Winter, where are you joining us from today? And have you got your lens pointed at any exotic and possibly threatening wildlife?
Well, today I'm calling you from New Hampshire. We're trying to find things to do during COVID that are close to home. So I've been working with black bears for the last month on and off. So I just left about, and there I just saw about 12 black bears about a half hour ago. So,
And these are friendly black bears, or the sort of black bears you want to photograph from a very long distance?
Yeah, these are actually very friendly. I once did a bear story in Kamchatka where they were the ones where you wanted to keep your distance and be very aware of them at all times.
Well, Steve, you've spent many months and years indeed traveling the US and other places, as you mentioned, there, documenting big cats of various kinds, particularly those in captivity. What is it that compelled you to train your lens on that in particular?
Well, to tell you the truth, the last story I did for National Geographic with my lifelong partner, we've been together 31 years, Sharon Guinab was the writer, was actually the second time that I've worked with captive animals. I've done stories on tigers, snow leopards, leopards, did the first jaguar story for National Geographic, did the second, did a TV show on jaguars and leopards. So it's always been, you know, out in the wild, lions. But, you know, we've tried to do a lot to understand the problems that these animals face. So the first time we ever did captive animals was during the last tiger story for National Geographic. I visited a temple in Thailand called the Thai Tiger Temple. Later on, about a year and a half later, my wife worked with a woman from Australia that had done undercover work, and we did a story for National Geographic that eventually led the government to come in with the police and army, confiscate all 167 tigers and close the place down because they were involved in the black market trade. So then the last story that we did for Nat Geo that was in the December 2019 issue was on the issue of captive tigers in the United States. And then that became very famous because of the Netflix reality show, Tiger King. But I spent a long time with a lot of the people on Tiger King. But that was the only second time I worked with captive animals. I'd much rather work with them in their own homes in the wild.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. But in the Observer newspaper, the British one, which you spoke to recently, there's a stat in there that really leaps out, and indeed they put it right at the top of their story. More tigers held in captivity in the US than in the wild in Asia. Now, maybe I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I certainly was. But how do we know this, and why so many captive in the United States right now?
Well, you know, people are fascinated with these animals. You know, it always comes up, the most popular animal in the world year after year is the tiger cub. And people are drawn to locations where they can get their picture taken with a tiger cub. So it becomes an entertainment industry, but run at the expense of the health, the welfare of one of the most iconic, majestic animals that have ever walked the face of the earth. And it started because of money, and it now is ending because of people's greed and breaking the laws, and the fact that we don't have really good laws that govern the keeping large exotic animals. And the only way that the places, these entertainment facilities that we covered, can have cubs is that as soon as they're born, they're taken away from their mothers. And a lot of these locations profess to be involved in conservation. And I first saw this in South Africa at a rehab facility. And they said, well, they're putting all these animals back in the wild because they're rehabilitating them. And I said, the only thing they're really rehabilitating is the owner's bank account. And that's pretty much the same thing here, is that it's all based on money at the expense of these animals. And there is no conservation value of these captive tigers, because a captive bred tiger has never been released into the wild. So they're, you know, what happens to them is the big question.
Yeah, indeed. And that Netflix series you mentioned there, Tiger King, a lot of people know about it. Even if they haven't seen it, they've probably heard about it. It really made a worldwide impact. But look, I watched the start of it. I couldn't carry on with it. I found it kind of too weird, too grotesque, and the characters in it, they just really put me off in the end. I just didn't want to know anymore. But I would have thought that what was exposed by that program, and the fact that millions of people would have seen it, would actually make it less likely that there would be a kind of backlash against this side, sort of, well, roadside zoo, if you want to call it that. But is that not the case? It hasn't dented this sort of trade?
Well, I think in the end, the only reason why some of these people let me in was because they knew my images and TV shows on big cats. And then this comes out and people flock to these facilities because they want their pictures. And they kind of looked at this in the old adage, there is no such thing as bad press, because a certain group of people are always going to come. But it's turned out to be a double-edged sword for them, because certain organizations and parts of the government that were stepping back from any regulation on this have actually looked at some of these players that were in the Tiger King and in the story that Sharon and I covered. And two of them were just indicted last week. The main one, Joe Exotic, you know, he wasn't even in Tiger King except all the footage of him, because he's in jail for 22 years for endangered species violations and harm to animals and killing animals. And we were psychologically damaged after the 18 months to 2 years that we worked on this story. I mean, it's really hard when you spend 9 days with one of these guys, and then at the end, even though he's being recorded, he says, if this isn't a positive story, I'm going to send a bomb to your house. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we had to deal with all the time. And so I can understand you not wanting to watch it. We had to, because we knew we were going to be inundated with interviews about it. So
I find it hard to work out what kind of industry this really is. Do people make a lot of money from having these big cats in these so-called roadside zoos? I mean, some of which are semi-underground and maybe hard to find, hard to locate. Can they actually exploit them for money?
Well, you have the small operations that we would go to, and we would ask that question, how do you make money at this? And if they're breeding, maybe they can sell cubs, but they get expired fruits and vegetables and meat from Walmart. They get on a list and they're able to go there and load things up, because it takes, on average, they say about $10,000 a year to take care of a tiger or a lion. And these places can't afford that, but they can if they have free meat. They have to take the fruits and vegetables also. So many of them have bears now, because people want bear cub pictures too. But the animals suffer because they can't afford the vet care and things like that. And then you have the other side of the coin, where you have someone that has worked as an animal trainer in many famous movies, who has an operation where you never see the animals in cages. It's a real slick, show that lasts about 3.5 hours that has tigers, tiger cub petting, tiger cub selfies. There's an elephant. There's a black leopard. There's some chimps. And we watched him and added it up because everybody had to sign a model release that I photographed. So we could add it all up. And a conservative estimate was in one day, the guy made $50,000.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, there is big money in it.
Yeah, those small places. And then you have Doc Antle, who was just indicted last week, but for alleged crimes, we have to say. But there is a dark underbelly to this. And hopefully we'll get this under control in the next couple of years and give the tiger back its dignity. And they'll only be in accredited zoos. And because a lot of this falls under, you can't tell me what kind of animal I can own or not own. And there are states where that kind of thinking and the private ownership of these animals, that's high on the list of people's thoughts. Now, you wouldn't think it would be, you know, that somebody wants to have tigers in cages in their backyard. But there's certain countries that it's that have more tigers and lions. Tigers are the most popular. There are certain countries that have more than the United States.
Yeah, some of them.
One of them is our southern neighbor.
Oh, in Mexico.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone said there's more tigers in Mexico, around Mexico City, than there are in the U.S. And that they said a lot of cartel members and stuff, but we don't know that because we'd rather it's hard enough photographing wild animals and staying alive. And this is more dangerous. I was a photojournalist first and covered one armed conflict and said, I'd rather work with the animals. They're a lot safer than people.
Yeah, but when you combine the bad people with that animal trade, then I guess you've got a whole other area of difficulty. But there are some pictures, Steve. I've seen ones you've taken outside the US of animals, you know, that have been kept, made to perform tricks and so on. And I mean, they're sad photos, aren't they? They look unwell. They don't look healthy and certainly don't look happy. But I mean, is this the problem then with these roadside outlets, that what you kind of end up with is a couple of generations of animals that are unlikely to be cared for properly as they get older? So we'll end up with a whole lot of older big cats with all sorts of health problems. And, you know, what happens to them is anybody's guess.
No, that is 100% true, because we found one a facility in Indiana, and there's this great vet dental organization that comes around, and the University of Illinois Vet School came in, and they took all these older cats that one of them needed 4 root canals, 4 teeth pulled. They just one after another, and these animals were suffering with abscesses. And many of these locations just don't have the money. And what the adage was, a 10-cent bullet is cheaper than a $100 vet bill. And it wouldn't be a $100 vet bill, it'd be a lot more. But it's the space that they have, you know. Then I went and visited the biggest sanctuary, the oldest sanctuary in the world in Colorado. And he has a new location with 10,000 acres down in southern Colorado, and a couple tigers had 35 acres in the mountains with trees and everything. The bears had 100-acre habitat, and these sanctuaries, they take them from places like Joe Exotic. Like, they had 39 tigers. You may have seen the opener of the story, 2 tigers in a stock tank, which is used for cattle, and one leaning his head up against it and a rainbow in the background. Those tigers came from Joe Exotic, and he just said, can you take them? 39 cats, and now they're there for life with their on-site veterinarian, great food, and now they have this big facility in the South. There's 2 locations. And so these true sanctuaries that keep them for life are now going to have hundreds and hundreds more animals, and they really need help to take all the animals that aren't properly cared for and are in pain for a good amount of their life in small enclosures with no room to move, an animal that can walk 30 miles in a night, you know.
That was Steve Winter, wildlife photographer. He's an acclaimed photographer. He's been stalking big cats himself because he's been documenting the terrible predicament of the growing number of big cats growing up in the United States in roadside zoos and not being cared for at all well.